And we kick off the 4 o'clock hour here. Gwen and Chris. 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. Matt Scraby on the, I think Tony calls them, the ones and twos.
That is what he says.
Yeah. We're here in the Bill Howe Studios. We know how. All guests on the program come to you courtesy of the SDCCU Fan Hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking. It's better. Earlier, Sam Levitt used that hotline to visit with Padres CEO Eric Grubner. Talk about today's festivities.
Yes.
Good interview?
Yeah.
First of all, second of all, Sammy does a good interview. Third, Eric Grubner always does a great interviewee.
Yes, he always
really
has,
good at it.
He always has something to say that you could take away.
That makes, I would like Eric Grubner to be asked in an interview like about me, because he does a good job of saying good things about other people.
Oh, so we should get him on to interview.
I got to think of an angle. You interview him about me.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so that Eric Grubner
can
say,
Chris Ello's actually been an institution
like
he could make me
sound like I'm pretty cool, I think.
I need to go to the Eric Grubner
school
of words.
I will say for Eric Grubner, making me sound great would be one of his bigger challenges, but I think he could pull it off. I think he could do it. All right, we're going to get to Chris versus the Fans here in a moment. The Padre lineup is out. I'll be honest with you, Scraby. There's a name in there that not many of you are going to recognize. Batting ninth for the Padres today in left field, Dustin Harris. You're going to go, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because Sun Moon Song was sent down today. Dustin Harris has been called up. This is not a career minor leaguer, by the way, Dustin Harris. He has been in the major leagues for parts of each of the last three seasons. He played for Texas for 2 years and played some this year with the White Sox. So he is a bit of a known quantity in that regard. Dustin Harris has a couple of career home runs.
Did they just
and a
225 sign him?
Batting average, 89 at bats.
Yes, they did. August 7th.
Yeah.
So, wow, yeah.
But I guess they signed him August 7th, and he went down. Let me see now. He went down to the minor leagues after he was signed with El Paso.
Yeah, I'm looking at
it
right
now. And they said
he
was red hot. Let's see how hot he was.
I got it if you
want it. He's
hitting
350.
He is.
Other than that, he wasn't very hot. Yeah.
For El Paso, yeah, 350, 1.039 OPS.
Yeah.
Six home runs in, like, how many games? 29 games? That's pretty good.
Yeah. So Dustin Harris has been swinging the, as Mark Grant would like to say, been swinging the shillelagh well.
Yeah, the hot shillelagh.
Yes, down at El Paso. So he makes his Padre debut tonight in left field. You want to run through the rest of the lineup very quickly so we can get to Chris versus the Fans?
We need to go. It's Fernando Tatis Jr., Jake Cronenworth in playing right field. Jake Cronenworth batting second, playing second. Manny Machado batting third, playing third. Ty France cleaning up again at first base. Jackson Merrill, center field, batting fifth. I think that's his spot. Fifth is Jackson's spot.
It's worked out.
Xander Bogaerts moves up to the sixth spot, playing shortstop. Gavin Sheets DHing in the seventh spot. Freddie Freeman catching eighth. Dustin Harris, left field, ninth. Robbie Ray pitching.
And Braxton Ashcraft, 13-game winner for the Pirates. All right, let's play some Chris versus the Fans. Chance to win a big prize, or qualify for one at least.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I'm going to need a second to read this, but you will be qualified if you beat Chris. First shot at our grand prize, a pair of VIP tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd at Del Mar Arena on September 24th. One legendary rock band, one last summer night on the coast. Surfers Point Live Coastal Concert Series presents Lynyrd Skynyrd over 50 years after their debut album introduced the world to an unforgettable sound. They are bringing their timeless catalog to the Del Mar Arena at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. Experience the music, the ocean breeze, the crowd surge, and stunning sunset views. Complete with elevated food and drink, minutes off the I-5, easily accessible from all of San Diego County. Tickets at cbfproductions.com.
That is Chris
Frank. Or
Brotherhood Frank.
Brotherhood Frank.
CBF.
All right. Now, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get it right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
Right. First time.
Oh, if you're a first time player or combatant or
whatever
entrant, let us know before you get into it.
Okay.
That was a lot. Let's
you're right.
Go.
You need a little glass
I'm
of water.
Good. I'm good. I think I'm good. Let's go to Kevin in El Cajon. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, gentlemen. How we doing?
Pretty good, Kevin. Good luck to you today, man.
Are you ready to play?
Thank you. I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Which NFL quarterback was drafted number one overall in 2021 by the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is correct.
Trevor Lawrence indeed. Well done.
I think he's going to have a great year.
He had a good year last year.
Yeah.
Weren't they 13-4?
Yes.
I mean, they were really good. I mean, Buffalo was not necessarily supposed to beat them.
No.
In that playoff, but they did.
I'm sorry to our resident Jaguars fan, J-Mac, I believe. I'm ready for them to go back to mediocrity.
Oh, so you're not...
I don't like Liam Cohen.
Wait, you just said you thought
he was going
to have a big year.
I like Trevor Lawrence. I don't like Liam Cohen, the coach of the Jaguars.
Oh, because he's winning.
Oh,
get out of here. Because your guy, Saleh, threatened to kill him, and you blame Liam Cohen for that.
Yeah, Liam Cohen ran over to his players. Hold me back! Hold me back! All right, Kevin. Sorry about that. Here we go. Question number
Scraby,
two.
Man. Guy's got a memory of an elephant, Scraby does.
I do. All right. Sorry. 1 second. I clicked the wrong thing.
Oh, that never happens.
All right. Which Pac-12 school did Michael Penix Jr. lead to the national championship game a few years ago?
Washington?
Washington is correct. Whoa, that was not the right... I'm all over the place. That's embarrassing.
Washington Huskies.
You are correct, Kevin. Sorry.
Yeah, what was the final of that game? Not good
it was,
against
it was
Michigan.
Bad. Let me
yeah,
see.
It was a lot
Washington
to a little.
Washington National... They scored a lot of points. Michigan
scored
did.
Like every time they had the ball. And J.J. McCarthy was the next greatest thing.
34-13, but it felt...
That's all?
Felt worse than that.
Yeah, felt way worse.
What is that, 2024? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that felt way worse.
All right, very good. Kevin, you're on to the final.
Yeah. Here we go. Question numero tres. I feel like I've asked this one already.
Well, then do something else.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do something else. Let's see. Okay. Who is the only player in Major League Baseball history to hit an inside-the-park home run during an All-Star game? Only player in history.
Oh, my God.
Had an inside-the-park home run.
Was such
All-Star
a thing?
All-Star game.
Yes. And it happens. It's happened since the year 2000.
Really?
Let's say Ichiro.
That is insane because you are correct.
Wow.
Let's go,
Did you know that or did you just pull it out? You just take a guess.
I remember hearing about that and watching it back in the day. I don't remember when it happened, but I do remember that.
It happened.
Yeah, real good, Kevin.
In 2007 when the All-Star game was at AT&T Park, he hit something in right field and it bounced way crazy and he got it inside
great,
the
park. Great, great pull, Kevin. Much
Stay
deserved.
There.
Stay on the line there. You are the winner today. I didn't even get to compete.
No.
Which is the best way to make it go. There's funny little things like now. Ichiro makes sense because he's fast, and that's kind of what Ichiro, you would think he might do. But, you know, baseball gives us those kind of strange things.
Yeah, I never expected in a million years he would have guessed Ichiro.
If anybody knows the name Dick Allen, now I think Dick just made the Hall of Fame this year. Former MVP in the American League with the White Sox, played with the Phillies. And several other teams. His slugger hit 300-plus home runs in his career, 290 career batting average. Yeah, Dick Allen just made the Hall of Fame not that long ago. But if you look at Dick Allen, he's a big old first baseman. Mm-hmm. You know, 6 foot, 190. Well, God, they list him 6 foot, 190 back in the day. I don't know. The Dick Allen I remember playing looked a little heftier
than nickname
that.
Was Crash.
Yeah.
And the Wampum Walloper.
There you go. He was a big old dude, but Dick could play. There's a funny picture of him in Sports Illustrated on the cover one time during his MVP season in 1972, and he's got a dart. Like, on the cover of Sports Illustrated, there's Dick Allen. He's smoking a dart.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a different world. But Dick Allen's also the only player in baseball history to hit two inside-the-park home runs in one game.
Wow.
Which is pretty hard to even imagine anybody doing it.
That is really hard to do.
That is really a random thing, right?
Totally is. Oh, my God. He really is just smoking a dart.
On the cover of Sports Illustrated. What's the date? Can you blow it up? July something, 1972?
June 12th, 1972.
1972, June 12th. Yeah, hey, kids, don't try this at home. Dick Allen on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
That is a different time.
Enjoying a dart.
And he's in the dugout. Like,
sure.
He doesn't even care about any of the other
players. Parker used to smoke them as you got them.
You know, when I...
Jim Leland, I think, never did stop smoking cigarettes, even when it was, you know, frowned upon.
Yeah, when it was banned. Yeah. I always think about the smoking culture back, because I lived on both sides. You can't smoke inside a restaurant. You can't smoke inside a restaurant. But
yeah, it's hard to
believe. I always think about planes. And how gross a plane must have been.
It was pretty gross.
With a bunch of people smoking cigarettes on it.
I had to travel to Cleveland with Distel, my LA Times sports editor, one time back in the day for the soccer's championship series. And we had to get the smoking row in the back because Distel was a cigarette guy.
Oh, man.
You remember
brutal.
They had like the five rows in the back? And we're back there and Distel's like knocking us all out. And so was everybody else in those rows.
That's insane. I can't even imagine. Because they thought that the last five rows were going to keep the smoke from going
elsewhere. Right, it wouldn't come up to the front. Yeah, it was.
That is crazy.
Yeah, last three or four rows, you could smoke on the plane.
Oh, man. I've lived in a time where I had an ashtray in a plane. You know, that's...
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't believe us... The next time you're on an airplane, there's still a no smoking sign up there.
Yeah, because they have to tell people to do that.
Why?
Like, there was
totally
a person on one of my flights.
Understood that there's no smoking anymore.
No, there was a person on one of my flights that was like nicotine withdrawal or something, and they were going crazy.
Can't see them needing the sign anymore, but they still have it. All right, we got a couple minutes left. I want to congratulate Scrape. You know I'm going to go with this. Saturday, I said there was two things I did. One was the Billy Ray. The second thing, I headed up to Del Mar for the Pacific Classic. I know I've got some horse racing people out there. If you were there at the Pacific Classic, you saw one of the best horses I have ever seen win this race. His name was Knight's Bridge. I'm telling you, Scraby, this horse almost lapped the field. I mean...
That good?
Oh, my God. He blew... I think he won by 6 lengths, which is a lot in a race of this quality. So this horse is going to go on and do even major other things. But the reason I was there, my buddy Mike Golovko, you know him. We play golf together, Scrabe. He and I were fraternity brothers. We used to dream about one day owning a horse. He actually followed the dream. He's bought a piece of a horse, never expected it to even get on the racetrack, let alone win a race. Well, that horse is part owner, has now won 6 races and has become so good that the horse's name, Almond Joy, ran in the Pacific Classic. What an incredible achievement. Think about how many racehorses are out there, Scraby, and these are like the top 10, you know, of the year.
Yeah, you don't just show up at Del Mar and say, let my horse race.
Not into the Pacific Classic. You don't get into that. Anyway, she was the only filly in the race. Everybody else, colt, mare, basically the guys against a girl. And she hung right there. She finished 4th, Scraby. An incredible performance. She was legit, belonged in the race. And, you know, he couldn't have been more excited. Afterwards, the jockey came and talked to the owners, and I happened to kind of listen into the conversation. And the jockey of Almond Joy's name is Kent DeSormo's Hall of Famer, one of the great jockeys of all time. He looked at Mike and the trainer and the other owners, and he said, she ran so good today and was so amazing that if it wasn't for the fact that she was running against the boys, she would have beaten any filly in the world.
Wow.
Wow. So all of a sudden now, the Breeders' Cup is coming up in October.
How old is this horse?
4.
So
four years old.
Older this is kind of like the big horse races.
The Kentucky Derby is a 3 year old.
Yeah, okay.
You have to be three, but once you're four, a lot of them still run at four, maybe five. Then you very few run beyond that. This horse is 4 years old. The Breeders' Cup is coming up. They have a race, the Distaff, which is for the champion filly in the world. She could be in that race.
Wow.
She could be. She showed it the other day by racing in the same company as some of the fastest horses in the world. It was incredible. So much fun. And just what a thrill. It's hard to explain it because I don't even own a piece of the horse. But I'm just watching them own the horse. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And you're just the excitement that this horse has created. I know a lot of the fans like Almond Joy. She's been kind of a Del Mar favorite. She's won three or four races here. And, I think a lot of people are supporting her, especially since she was running one filly against all the colts. And she was right there. She ran a hell of a race. So
you know what I like that about that story is that you guys were happy that she finished fourth instead of being angry that she finished fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm sure that there are some horse owners out there that are not happy with a fourth place finish.
Potentially.
But yeah, when I you're feel like if you give the horse more love, it would run better.
Well, maybe. But Mike's point, and he's right, he goes, we were in the race with the best in the world, or some of the best horses in the world, and we were in the hunt. That is amazing when you think about the odds of being to that level and be that lucky. So we'll keep an eye on Almond Joy for you. She went off at 23-1. Unfortunately, she didn't pay off because fourth place, you don't get any pay for that as a bettor. But what an incredible day that was and fun.
So, that is cool.
All right. We got my guy Lane Kiffin is in the news. Mm. Wait, is this in the Big Five? Did you put it in or not?
No, it's okay.
Okay. I got to give Lane his own segment.
Yeah, okay. That's fair in this instance.
Lane Kiffin is one of my all-timers. Scrabe, you know how much we love him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wonder, why do you just despise this guy so much, Chris? Like, when are you going to get over it? Wait till you hear the latest Lane Kiffin story. And I think you'll understand it more than ever. It's coming up after a quick timeout. Padres, Pirates a bit later. Sam Lev's pregame show at 5:30. Gwen and Chris until then.
Tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's Epic Padres Roundtable, sponsored by Epic Wings. Voted San Diego's best wings 13.
San Diego Padres, 21 wins in 56 games. That's what they did from May to July. 2 months of just terrible baseball. Now, the San Diego Padres, 21 wins in just 28 games the last 4 weeks.
That's a little bit better.
Slight turnaround, Scrabe.
Yeah.
Slight turnaround. Padres look to keep it rolling tonight against the Pirates. Good pitcher for Pittsburgh, all-star Braxton Ashcraft. And he's been good. 13 wins already this year. Robbie Ray for the Padres. And Dustin Harris, new name. He'll be in left field. He gets the start tonight. Called up from El Paso, signed a month or so ago, right?
Yeah, early. I guess someone was saying on the chat that he was picked up earlier in the year, then they released him, and then they got him back.
He actually played a little bit with the White Sox this year.
Yeah.
Had a couple of bats with them. Played the last couple of years with Texas very sparingly. Has a couple of career home runs. But he's never hit the ball like he is recently. He's got a 10-19 OPS at El Paso in the last month. Padres say, hey, come on. Maybe we can catch a little lightning in a bottle.
AJ Preller has been very good this year at finding guys that can give you about 3 weeks' worth of great production.
I guarantee you the first thing we all said was, Luis Renjifo, what are you doing?
Why are you wasting
our time?
Samad Taylor, ugh.
Samad Taylor, how's he going to turn this thing around?
Who was great.
The third? Oh, Austin Hayes, first game, hit a home run.
That's true.
Went 2-for-2 the next game. Yeah, they've had a lot of luck with these guys, so we'll see if Dustin Harris can be the latest tonight.
Andy says Dustin Harris goes 3-for-4 with a slam tonight.
That all?
You think he's going to do more?
Well, 4-for-4, you have a chance to hit for the cycle.
You don't want to make it too unrealistic,
Chris. Why are we limiting ourselves? What did Fernando go yesterday? 4 hits, 4 RBIs, 2 home runs, stolen base.
just filling up the box score. Like, when they say filling up the box score, that is what they mean.
Isn't it? I mean, baseball's a funny game, as they say, but he can't get out right now.
No, he cannot.
And then the first 2.5 months of the season, he had no chance. Same guy.
Well, everybody is pointing to the one thing that has changed about his batting routine.
What are they pointing to?
His stance. He opened his stance.
They're saying his dad was telling
him around.
His dad was telling him about trying to change some things around so he could hit for a higher average.
That's what
a lot of people
reading, yes.
have said. Once he got past that and just got back to being himself, that the results have followed. So I don't know. Believe what you will.
He's had three, or out of his last five games, he's had four multi-hit games. That's crazy.
The man went 254 times up without a home run.
Yeah, and
that's unbelievable considering who he is.
It is unbelievable.
And now 9 home runs in the last 71.
You know,
times up.
He hit that home run, the first one of the year, right before my birthday. I think it was like May 23rd or something.
It was May 30th.
Oh, it was May. So it was after my birthday.
Yeah.
Didn't it feel like he went a lot longer without a home run?
Well, he went till June 6th until the next one. He only had 5 at the All-Star break.
And now he's got 4 in the
last week.
He's
got 17. All right, if you don't have anybody who thinks you're at least semi-honest, what have you got? I'm talking about you as a person. If you can't, if you don't even have the ability for people to at least trust you a tiny bit, then what kind of person really are you? Like, if you're that shady.
A person who doesn't care what other people think.
Or if you're that shady, or you're at least what other people perceive to be that shady, like, how do you go to sleep at night looking in the mirror? I already don't know how Lane Kiffin sleeps at night, given all of the shenanigans that this guy has pulled to get where he now is. And he's now the head coach at LSU. I don't think we need to even go through all of the stories.
No, we don't.
From USC.
No.
To everywhere else, right? Ole Miss, the whole thing last year was a total disaster. The executive director, now Ole Miss is where Kiffin was last year. Remember, he left at the end. They didn't coach. He didn't coach in the playoffs. He let some of his coaches coach, not others. Anyway, it was a mess. The executive director of the Ole Miss NIL Collective said today on a podcast that Ole Miss actually hired people from the FBI to come in and search the Ole Miss football offices looking for recording devices, bugs, basically, after Lane Kiffin left. Okay, so let me make that clear. The people at Ole Miss think that before Lane Kiffin left, he's such a slime that he might have even left bugs behind to try to spy on Ole Miss. And they believed it to the extent that they brought people in from the FBI to do it. It wasn't like they just, hey guys, let's look around, make sure.
Yeah.
No, they brought FBI people to come in and search for bugs.
Which, by the way, I found out that it wasn't like they called the FBI. It was they're believing that it was one of the players as a dad in the FBI.
Okay, but they were officially FBI people.
They were FBI. They did sweep the building.
Swept the building. And here is the quote from Walker Jones, who founded the collective that is the NIL and the Ole Miss thing. He said, quote, "We actually had the FBI come through and walk the building for bug." The building! Not just like under somebody's, the coach's desk.
No.
The whole building.
Yeah.
"We kind of knew what was in Baton Rouge," which is where LSU is.
Yes.
"And we know how they operated. I remember getting on my knees and looking underneath the desk, like checking for, is there some sort of bug in my office?" When asked why he was looking under his desk, Jones said, quote, "Trust me, you don't know this guy, Lane Kiffin, like I do."
That's crazy.
Basically, he is saying that Lane Kiffin would stop at nothing to cheat when he worked at Ole Miss. Isn't this what he's saying?
Yeah,
in
totally.
All aspects?
No, yeah, he's totally saying this. He's saying that they believe this guy would do this.
He believes that Lane Kiffin would do this. Now, even if this is completely not something that Lane Kiffin has thought of, and I'm guaranteed he'll be asked about it, and he'll say, oh, my God, that's the dumbest thing
crazy.
Ever.
Yeah,
this is stupid. What do you, I mean, you know, whatever. He can say whatever he wants. The fact of the matter is Lane Kiffin is somebody that absolutely no one can trust any further than they can throw him. And that includes the people, by the way, at LSU, mm-hmm. who if they're not, if they're, at least, unless they're smarter than they appear to be, they better understand that he's going to leave them in the lurch the minute that Alabama job opens up as well.
That's why I don't understand some of these people who are like, oh, he would never leave. He's left every single place he's gone.
And every single one has been worse than the way he left the one before.
I would say that he handled it better early in his career. He's handling
That's
it
what
worse.
I just said. It's getting worse.
Yeah, sorry.
It's getting worse.
It is getting worse.
It's the jilted lover, or is it the cheating lover story? You cheat with a married man. He leaves his wife for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then 3-4 years later, he leaves you and cheats on you. And you're like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You're like, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
That's how he met you.
Yeah.
Same thing with Lane Kiffin. And if you're an LSU football fan, all of the power to you. But I'll be here, and we'll be here, and Scraby and everybody, to pick up the pieces the day he jilts you guys, because he'll do it without question.
He will. And I'm going to ask you guys a question about college football coaches, or ask us a question, college football coaches in the Big Five.
All right. So Ole Miss has the FBI. They trust this guy? Not at all.
I mean, if they found a bug, that would be highly illegal.
You don't know this guy like I do. That's a pretty telling quote.
That's crazy.
More Gwen and Chris, and salutes to our guy, Lane Kiffin. Ahead. There might have been some people out there, Scraby, when I said I was going to talk about my best friend, Lane Kiffin, who thought that we were going to refer to this other story where Lane Kiffin has just accepted back on the LSU team a player who played in the NFL over the weekend, actually played in the Browns game against the Bills. And now he's back at LSU, and Lane Kiffin, of course, has a spot waiting for him. That is among the things we are going to tackle in today's Big Five with Scraby here.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
We are broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios, where we know how. And I was just looking up at the TV real quick, and Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, was on there.
Yeah.
Each year, he looks like he has aged at least 10 years per year.
I don't think there's any question this is a job that will do that to you.
Yes, he looks
NFL coach.
He had this glow and brightness about him.
He was a young guy a few years ago when he stepped into that
anymore.
Job. Not so
not
much.
Not anymore. All right, let's get into our first topic for today.
Number five.
And that's going to be an update from Craig Stammen, who was giving all of these things during his daily scrum. And here is what he had to say about Nick Pivetta and Joe Musgrove. He starts with Nick Pivetta.
He had the bullpen already. It went really well. Nick's feeling good. He's going to pitch for Lake Elsinore tomorrow. So that'll be his, rehab start, starting over again. But very excited. He's feeling very good right now, feeling a lot better. Very excited about his next opportunity.
And then Joe is going to be throwing on Tuesday, right, making his last rehab assignment, we hope. Could you share where that's going to be if you already know?
Joe is going to pitch on Thursday instead of Tuesday now, so bumping him back a few days. He'll pitch for El Paso in Oklahoma City. So we'll get him out there on Thursday. He's excited about that. His bullpen went really well. Just decided to give him a little extra rest with the back, and You know, make sure he's ready to go, you know, 100%, you know, for that outing.
All right, so that's good news about Joe Musgrove. I think we don't really know enough about Nick Pivetta at this point in time to make any predictions on it. But, Chris, when does Joe get put on this roster?
I think he's starting next week.
Okay.
You know, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with Casey Mize.
Mm-hmm.
Ankle injury, how that responds. But I think Joe, at the moment, you know, starting next week gives you a sixth option in the starting rotation. Pivetta could give you a seventh, you know, for a starter two. And you can never have too many. We've already talked about this enough. Vasquez can pitch in relief. Look, I want an embarrassment of starting pitching heading down the stretch. I want to keep doing what they're doing right now, which is 7 out of 8 or 6 out of 7 quality starts.
Yeah.
6 games out of 7. As long as that happens, the bullpen's going to continue to do what it did Saturday night, which is 0-0-0-0-0. Because these guys are fresh.
Yes.
They're not being overused again.
Yes.
No mistake, the hero of the weekend, I know everyone thinks was Fernando. The real quiet hero of the weekend was the effort Saturday night by, you know, a guy that we have ripped apart pretty much all year long. Coming out of that Padre bullpen.
Who are we talking
about? On Saturday night.
I'm blanking.
Huh?
Who are we talking about?
Saturday night, the middle of the ball game. We were down 5-0, 5-1. And, God, I keep forgetting his name, too. That's how down we
Kyle
were on.
Kyle Hart?
Griffin Canning!
Oh, Griffin Canning, yes, yes. He actually, I believe, got the win.
He did. 2 1/3 innings.
Oh,
great
Brandon
job.
Said Canning.
3 1/3. Chat. Thank you, Brandon. Yeah, Griffin Canning. Ugh. God, so many names, so little time.
Number 4.
I agree with you. Joe's back as soon as possible next week. Lane Kiffin, let's get back into it. He does not care what people think about him. That is clear. And I'm just going to read from the article this next little bit. Quote, his job at LSU is to acquire talent, win football games and championships, and his pursuit of Cleveland Browns tight end and former Ole Miss standout Daquan Wright is another reminder that few coaches navigate college football's lawless landscape better, end quote. Some say that Lane Kiffin's just doing what it takes to win.
Who wrote that, by the way? That is really well written.
It was an ESPN article.
Yeah, nobody navigates college football's lawless landscape. And lawless is what it is.
It is.
There's no rules.
No rules.
And so Lane Kiffin does whatever Lane Kiffin wants. And there are some people, I'm sure, who say, well, that's fine.
I'm not one of them. I'm going to go first. And then I'm going to save a lot for you. But does it mean you have to be shameless, or does this mean you have to be shameless to win at the highest level in college football? Answer is yes. You're going to have no soul, no conscience.
Wow.
You are okay with stepping on people.
Really?
Just to get to Lane Kiffin's status, I don't think you have any shame anymore about anything. So I will say that.
It's hard to say. I mean, Kurt Cignetti had his critics by the end last year.
Yes, he did.
Right, the Indiana coach.
Yeah.
For the most part, though, people were pretty much in love with a guy coming in and taking over a no-name school and bringing his own guys in there. And, you know, were they getting paid? Sure, everybody's getting paid. But there was a certain freshness to Indiana coming through out of nowhere and winning it all.
Yeah.
Instead of the established, you know. I mean, hell, Indiana beat Alabama like 39-7 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is Indiana, this is Alabama? Come on.
It was
kind of fun. But there's also critics of Kurt Cignetti to say, you know, he sold his soul to the devil, too. And so that's what you're saying. Do you have to sell your soul in order to win at the highest level in college football? And unfortunately, I think you're not wrong. It's becoming this way. Now, Lane Kiffin, you're right. He just doesn't care.
He does not.
And I mean, this guy, Daquan Wright, was a tight end. He was out of Ole Miss. He was picked up by the Eagles, non-rostered, cut by them, waived, picked up by the Browns, was on the roster for the game Saturday night against Buffalo in the preseason, did not play in the game. But now he's working out a deal to come to LSU, which is where Lane Kiffin had him at Ole Miss. Now he's going to have him at LSU. And it's really funny because it says, Daquan Wright will be going to LSU as long as he's not picked up on waivers.
Yeah, well, this
like,
is
so
insane.
Unless the Miami Dolphins sneak in and get him, he's going back. I mean,
what are they going to do in the middle of the year? Say someone comes and signs him. You're just going to get rid of, like, this whole
where
this thing is
coming,
so stupid.
Well, it's where this has come from is because the NCAA put in a fifth year rule.
Yes.
And all the players that are 22, 23 feel they deserve another year now. But the rule came in after they were picked up into the NFL.
You know, so all those people that played college sports forever would like money, too.
The NFL, I mean, college football is such a disaster. I can't even stand it. It's unfortunate.
It is.
There's a lot of people still left in college football, I believe, somewhere, like at Montana and, you know, maybe at Ball State and maybe a defensive back coach down there on the Mesa, you know, who really want to just teach these kids some college football and the spirit of it all. But that's fewer and far in between now because you're lying to yourself if you think you can compete without joining up with the way the landscape makes you be. The lawless landscape makes you be.
I don't know what to think about these players that keep doing this too. Like, if you're not good enough for the NFL, okay, going back to college for 1 year might give you some money, but you're just like kicking that can down the road of what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
I mean, let's just look at this Daquan Wright. He went to Ole Miss. He was pretty good, supposedly. Good enough for the Eagles to at least sign him.
Yeah.
He went into pro camp. He wasn't good enough. He went to Cleveland's camp. He's obviously not quite good enough. But he goes back and now plays for Lane Kiffin at LSU, and he's allowed to for one more year. What if he leads the SEC in receiving?
That's true. It could be.
He could end up getting drafted by the Colts in the second round next year and making millions of dollars.
But what about the kid?
So why shouldn't he give himself that chance?
I get what you're saying, but what I'm defending the kid who's been given that starter position and all of a sudden you're not a starter anymore.
Oh yeah. Now that's
because some guy couldn't hack it in the NFL and had to come take your spot.
I told you the story of our player on the Aztec women. It's easier for people I identified with, but Veronica, she won the Mountain West Player of the Year, went to TCU to be the next big player. And then after they recruited her, they recruited like three more All-Americans on top of her.
Yeah.
So she went there, but she never played, really.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So it's look out both ways.
It definitely is. Yeah. I mean, because they can leave whenever they want, but they can also bring in someone whenever
they want. Yes, they can.
Number three.
We talked about Jed York, 49ers owner, being arrested yesterday. He is no contest plea, got talked down from prostitution to, I hate having to say that, to disorderly conduct.
Okay. This seems like kind of an odd term for but whatever.
No, I think, I know what you're saying, but I think a lot of, I don't even know what I think. I've never been caught up in a prostitution scene.
Yeah, right.
Scene.
Why don't we just lower the charge from prostitution to being stupid and being caught?
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's a more understandable
penalty.
Charge, yeah.
Okay, so my question for you is, Chris, what do you do if you are the NFL?
He owns the team. Like, there's not a lot you can do, and you've already set a precedent.
I mean, Robert Kraft, the reason he got away with it,
he exalted him to another status of brilliance, you know?
I
don't know. I would hope. I don't think the NFL can and will really do anything, and I can't really blame them for it. The owners run the league.
Yeah.
I mean, Goodell's hired by the owners, so what's he going to do? Fine his boss? That's not going to happen. I would hope that Jed York, I doubt it, but I hope he's man enough to step up in front of the people who, you know, support his billion-dollar industry, and I'm talking about the 49er fans and faithful, and say, you know what? Don't be like me. Don't make mistakes like this. This is embarrassing. I embarrassed our team, our organization. I embarrassed the logo, and I apologize for it, and it won't happen again. That would really be nice, but I know we're not going to see it.
I don't know that we will see it, but he is a guy I can see doing that because he has admitted fault in the past.
You can be back in everyone's good graces if you do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We all understand making dumb decisions, not to that extent, but we all make dumb decisions and bad mistakes. Just own up to it.
Agree.
number two.
Scottie Scheffler and Chris have something in common, and no, it is not their golf games.
Yeah, right, that's for sure.
They both come to work sick.
Hey,
Scottie Scheffler revealed after the final round of the BMW Championship.
COVID?
No, no. He played with hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Oh, God.
He said he should have been smarter and not played, but he was playing way too well to drop out, which is a total golfer thing.
Did he win?
No, he did not win. He said that, but I'm actually going to focus on the sports betting aspect of things because people were very angry. Because if the PGA Tour is going to make betting a huge part of their product,
I'm going to have to start doing injury reports.
Should the PGA Tour do injury reports? And I say
they should.
Yes, because Scottie Scheffler would have had to say he had hand, foot, and mouth disease, and then people wouldn't have bet on him to win the tournament coming off of his Memphis win. I absolutely, if you're going to get in bed with the betting companies, you need to do something to at least help out the consumer. Chris?
What tournament was this? Oh, the BMW. Scheffler shot for the weekend with, what was it? Hand, mouth, and
foot disease.
He shot 65, 68, 68.
That's why he didn't stop playing.
Couldn't grip the club, you said.
He said he could barely swallow.
Jesus.
And this is a common, I guess, a common thing that it's usually in kids. And he has kids, and so that's what they think. He's also contagious.
Well, just so you know, the Aztec women's basketball team and every other team that plays college sports has to give a injury report now.
Really?
Yes, they do. Those games are being bet on. Hey, so golf has to
get
do
on
it
a PGA Tour. Get that injury report going.
Yep. Whatever number one is, we'll see when we come back. And we'll finish up by hearing about the new Padre ownership. More on that as Gwen and Chris continues.